Welcome to Aligned, y'all. Aligned is the podcast for executives of emerging middle market companies. We are in the concluding remarks with Will Riley as we go through the mini series around what is RevOps, revenue operations. Why does revenue operations matter? What does it do? What's the value to a business? Will, welcome back.
Hey, Sean, thanks for having me. Excited to talk about marketing technology today.
That is it. That's the fifth in our 5 for 15 series. And we just dive in. So why does RevOps matter? We certainly understand it's all about getting on one page, driving results, connecting signals from sales and customer service and marketing and getting all that pulled together and really giving executives a way to invest and grow with confidence their revenue.
Absolutely.
Makes sense, right? Yeah. So technology is an obvious platform. So as we dive into this, tell me about this MarTech 7000 thing.
Yeah, and it's probably even bigger since we've started this interview.
Actually, I did look at the data. In 2011, there were about 150 MarTech companies.
Jeez.
You know, MarTech, what's that even mean? What's the word MarTech mean? Explain that to me.
Yeah, just marketing technology. And we abbreviate that as MarTech, kind of common in the industry.
But you're a revenue operations guy.
Correct.
So MarTech is really a terrible name.
It is.
Because MarTech, the MarTech 7000 covers everything all the way through, in our view of things, from sales enablement, demand generation,
yep,
customer success.
Absolutely.
Even innovation platforms, e-commerce platforms.
And you're really starting to see the term, and we're even communicating that differently and saying MarTech and sales tech, just because even though we know it supports the entire journey, if a sales VP hears MarTech, he thinks that doesn't apply to him.
Perfect.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, and it does make sense. And it, just the way that we're encouraging people with revenue operations to see this as a journey, a unified thing. And because RevOps function is responsible for the processes, the system, the data that sales, marketing, and customer success functions use every day. So when we talk about the MarTech 7000, and I'd love for you to break down your point of view on the MarTech 7000 and how you would encourage an executive to think about technology.
Absolutely.
But when we say MarTech, we're really talking, which we would call it revenue tech.
Yeah. Yeah, we really would.
Let's rename it.
We'll have to call it
RevTech.
RevTech.
Let's go.
So when you're evaluating between the 7,000 or 8,000, whatever the total is now, it really comes from stemming from a strategic lens. You have to look at what are the different categories. Is this technology that's in place, is it actually solving a business problem? And then once you answer some of those initial questions, you really need to prioritize where that falls into the journey. So like Sean was saying, MarTech stems from pre-contemplation, people not knowing that your products or services matter to them, to an exchange relationship, a client, and then ultimately advocacy, clients referring you without asking. So we've created a list of the 7 main categories to help you digest the 7,000 that are out there. And just going in sequential order from earlier stage, more marketing focus to later stage sales and customer success focus, we've broken it down by advertising and promotion, content creation and enhancement, user experience, journey mapping, sales enablement, e-commerce, business intelligence and reporting, and then internal communication. Because like we were saying, I mean, Slack, Google Drive, your Adobe suite, I mean, those are technologies that if you didn't have those, it would be really hard to conduct business. And we're seeing, you know, even in some really corporate entities, I mean, the most that you might can have in one company is what, maybe 50?
Absolutely.
You know, across the board. I mean.
Well, I want to go back to that list again for a second.
Yeah.
Two things. One, listeners, we always write blog posts around our podcast. So if you're driving, don't text, don't write, don't take notes. Just come to the blog at fitzmartin.com and you can do a search there and find this episode, this list. So what are people most familiar with out of that list? And that list, again,
yeah,
meaning their buckets. Inside these buckets, there's 100, 200 different technologies.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if I'm hearing correctly, you're telling an executive, don't worry about the individual tech first, maybe. First, look at the buckets.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then once you've determined which buckets are important, then start identifying and sorting and vetting which technology.
Right.
And I don't think we should even get into how to vet the technology.
Yeah.
There's lots of what? G squared? What's the C crowd? Ah, what's that called? There's several things online that give great C2.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm remembering. Yeah, anyway, yeah. I'm obviously should have prepared for this, shouldn't I? You could just search for comparative technologies and ways to compare technologies. There's some really good crowdsourced tools to help you evaluate when you're looking at this tech versus right. that tech inside of a category. I didn't get to my question yet. So of the buckets, what would you tell the executives to pay attention to first? And or what's the most familiar and what's the least familiar?
Yeah, right. So advertising and promotion is probably the one that people are most familiar with. That's just because like it's
Google
number
AdWords.
One on the list. Yes, Google AdWords, Facebook ads, Google search within that, maybe some retargeting. You can get into programmatic technologies as well and other algorithmic buying tech. That's what we're probably most familiar with.
Would think CRM. Is that in a different bucket or is that?
Yeah, that's not going to be in advertising and promotion. A CRM, something that people, you know, we would say as a part of your core technology, you just couldn't function without it. CRM is probably going to live under the business intelligence, the sales enablement. What's interesting about our list within the 7,000, you may have one tech that has multiple responsibilities. And we would almost, we would rather say that's the kind of tech you want.
Okay.
If you get to reduce the amount of tech and you have one bigger platform that accomplishes three or four of the major categories, then you're really onto something.
So the CRM conversation is a good one. Everybody, I would guess everybody listening has a CRM. So that sounds super basic. But we're also surprised at these islands of technology that where things don't talk. So we spend a fair amount of time doing integrations between different technology pieces. You're pointing towards these all-in-one solutions that seems like this 7,000 MarTech 7,000 might actually begin to shrink because there's less fragmented individual systems.
Right.
So now a buyer of technology needs to start thinking about, I've got 10 or 20 or 30, you shared, I think it was Airstream, that had 50 different technologies in their stack. Well, they could probably buy one tech at this point and integrate everything into one platform. Well, then there's a risk. You've got everything in one platform. And there's this cost of all these little fragmented tools that you bought. There's either going to be a cost of integration through open APIs, or there's going to be a cost of starting over. How would you guide an executive with that question, that challenge?
Yeah. In some cases, it just makes sense to create your own to avoid that.
To create your own, start from scratch? Wow.
We've seen that depending on how complicated or how confidential the data is, there might not be a solution in the market. And I think that's one of the reasons why the list has gotten so big is that people create these solutions for them and then they try to sell that to their stakeholders. And then you've got this new app in the market. And not to say that we should recommend that every time, because we do think that most of this tech exists to some degree. And you have to really be cognizant of, you mentioned it, integrating. If it doesn't integrate throughout the whole process, and we see that as a huge revenue opportunity. Because if you have MarTech that doesn't talk to the CRM and the CRM doesn't talk to your ERP, well, now we got three different databases with inconsistent revenue numbers, and that's just a headache.
Well, just being non-actionable, certainly.
Right.
So if I'm an executive listening to this, and I've heard three options now, I can do my own development, I can do some kind of purchasing of individual platforms and then integrate those, get them to all talk, or I can buy bigger, almost ERP kind of based systems.
Yeah. And that's really the approach that, not to say it was a good decision, but Salesforce did that, where you buy a Salesforce and then it feels like it's good. Of like, oh, I'm getting marketing automation, I'm getting reporting, I'm getting lead intelligence. And what we're seeing is that when a big entity does that, then you're actually getting not as good of these other byproducts.
Yeah.
Right. So there's risk of all three of those.
Yeah, that makes sense. And with some of the larger platforms, we certainly see, hey, they're really great at this white sheet, everything can plug together. And that seems super promising. But then you get into usability is so difficult because they're not focused on this one specific thing. You know, our point of view maybe is we'd come into, well, an easy, at least an easy point of view is marketing automation technology, there's very, very powerful systems out there that are white sheets. You can do anything in them, but wow, they're complicated. Lots to do to make them work. You could buy out-of-the-box marketing technology that's super easy to implement. I tend to focus on user experience because the adoption of well-designed UX is more important to me than the sophistication of these really complicated systems. Now, the larger the company, the more that might, you know, honestly, I think one of the challenges here is really pointed out. The complexity that we're talking about right now points to marketing and marketers and executives all talk about wanting data. And in a recent study I read, 73% of the people a year ago said, we need this kind of data. We need these integrated data points. Recently, then, that number went up to 93%. So everybody's saying and talking about, we want data to make decisions. But then another recent study, competitive study, said only 27% of the people are making data-driven decisions. I think that points to usability. So, and it probably points to human nature. What I say and what I do aren't always exactly the same. So as we look at all these tools, I think the promise, you know, when we see demos, we see a lot of promising dashboards and data and information. So I think maybe a tools first approach, the wrong approach.
100%.
I think we're talking about the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So let's pivot. Can we do a marketing technology conversation that's not about marketing technology? What if we talk about how executives need to think through this? How would you tell them to start? How should an executive think about marketing technology?
Yeah, so I definitely think our seven categories are essential to business operation. We're not saying that advertising and promotion is optional, that reporting and BI is optional. These are the seven categories within business, whether you're a startup to a Fortune 500 company, these are the different categories that you have to consider filling in these gaps. Because what we found is that some of these solutions are total automated solutions. Without the tech, it would not exist. E-commerce is a great example. We're seeing prospects. We have current clients. This has been very trendy in the last couple of years. There's been some industry giants like Shopify that have been really first, and WooCommerce is another. As marketers, we have to keep learning these different techs and understanding them so that we can help solve these problems. But that's why it's its own category, because if there's not a tool there, then the online fulfillment process is totally manual and just doesn't exist.
The tools don't solve problems, right? Tools are tools. Tools. We've got to have a tools approach because we need a tool, but the problem is not solved by the tool. We've got to look for business problems. We've got to look for example, we want more profitability out of a current customer. We want less customer acquisition costs. We're looking for more effective investment of our marketing dollars. Now, software are the tools that can solve those problems, right? So we've got to start with strategy. And I just think it's...
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we said it earlier, it's got to solve that problem, right? I mean, you know, there was one example, we've talked about it on the customer success episode. But we saw that one of our clients' sales forces was wasting 20 minutes a day on talking to low-level deals. They weren't generating enough money. So we came in, studied the sales culture, and recommended strategically, if you implement an e-commerce solution, you will save $500,000 a year just in time.
Wow.
Right. So, I mean,
that's not the opportunity gain. That's just the pure savings.
Just the pure savings in time.
That's amazing. Roughly what that software tool costs to implement.
Oh my gosh. I mean, not even a fraction, right? Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a very inexpensive. Now, it did require research, insights, studying the current culture.
And it started with solving a problem.
It was a strategic problem that we were trying to solve.
So upwards of 80% of leads generated by marketing are neglected. We know that's a fact. We know that there's a lot of money wasted. And I've read as much as 91% of the ROI on marketing investment is wasted because there's a lack of sales and marketing alignment. So those are perhaps good business problems that technology solves. But it's so much fun to buy tools because the tools demos are always fun to watch. Success stories are great. But I'm hearing you say, first start with business strategy. Identify what the goal is. we're going to lay out that business strategy and that problem in the context of a consumer decision journey and probably put it into one of a couple categories that revenue operations would look at: demand gen, sales enablement, customer success, or innovation. And then, so then those platforms have to integrate with ERP or business systems. So it's not just don't, I think what I'm saying is don't get excited by the shiny object.
Right.
It's fun to buy. It's interesting to buy. It's neat to look at these technologies. And we constantly get ideas from our clients because they've seen something, some shiny object. But we've got to remember the salespeople of these marketing technology companies have their purpose in mind, and their view is of their technology. Their view is not of your business problem. And your, I mean, ultimately, yeah, it does solve a problem, but you may not have that problem. If there's 7,000 some companies, they've all got a specific point of view. You've got to have this integrator of all these ideas. So you've got to have a strategy and you've got to have the right people. So in my book, Shift, I talk about one of the frustrations in the marketing department of a lot of smaller businesses is simply that we are running into people who are put into marketing because executives don't know who to put into marketing. They bring in their nephew that just graduated or they're an old admin type person. And there's an administrative role to marketing, great, but it's not strategic. So if you bring in too low of a person, then it's that person in your revenue operations world is going to have a tool-centered view, not a business strategy-centered view.
Yeah.
So you could have a tool focus, you could have the wrong person who, if they're not strategic making decisions, then they're going to have the wrong focus too.
And really the first thing, I mean, you absolutely have to have those business strategies in place from a technology perspective, going into these different categories, solving specific problems within advertising and promotion, within e-commerce, within business intelligence and the other remaining. But really it comes down to us doing an audit or them doing an audit. So, and that's where we'd recommend absolutely you should start with a strategic focus on how to select tech. You should understand what problems you're trying to solve in the seven major categories of the MarTech 7000. And then within that, you have to do a MarTech audit or a RevTech audit, just looking at which ones you have. Are they integrated? Are they producing money? What is their financial cost? And you mentioned talent. Are your people equipped to actually use the tech? Because we see that got this great idea. We bought it. It was a SaaS model, $15 a month. I threw it to our entry-level marketer. And then we look a year later and they haven't logged in once.
Right.
And we see that time and time again with some of these smaller techs. But especially as you get into these larger technologies, the habits are going to still be the same. We see underutilization more than anything.
I'd say less than half of our clients do have solid utilization.
Right.
Yep.
And that comes out in that audit of whenever we do a technology audit with a company, we're looking at, is there a strategic focus? Is it solving problems? Where is there revenue to gain? But then it gets into a whole talent utilization training component that is ultimately one. It's really easy to buy good tech. It's so easy to do that.
Good tech, but maybe not the right tech.
But not the right tech. And then is it working?
Yes.
Right? I mean, you may buy Marketo, Pardot, HubSpot, and it may not work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we can find out what those reasons are and how to improve that.
Well, we have a client. I was on a ride with one of their salespeople recently where we were literally in a field in a pickup truck and needed to pull something out of the CRM, and mobility became an issue. You know, I mean, mobility is one of those things that probably doesn't often get considered in sales tech. Well, we're an incredibly mobile society, right? So the solution was actually to drive to the closest Hampton Inn and use their Wi-Fi to get the laptop on. You know, that's an incredible waste of time for the sales force. So maybe a silly example, but it's not silly. It's just seems maybe obtuse. But I mean, if 40% or so of salespeople are in the field most of the time using their productivity apps, then it is a significant issue. Mobility is a significant issue. Multiple data sources is a significant issue. How do you integrate? How do you even map out what you want to have pulled together? What do you do for adoption? And we know revenue operations has a lot of different points of view, and training is one of the significant points of view in the culture. So what is the training plan? How are you going to do that? If half of the CRM projects that get implemented fail because they're not being used, Is there a training issue? Is there a reporting issue? Is there a measurement issue? Is there a management issue? None of that had anything to do with technology.
Yeah.
It had to do with people.
And that's why whenever we have ongoing engagements with our clients, there's an onboarding process. There's a coaching process. There's this implementation process. There's the ongoing management utilization. And then there's the reporting side. Well, I just mentioned five or six things within one strategic objective. So whenever you buy this, there should be a culture change in your organization. I mean, something, some behavior, either the top down or bottom up, has to change when you're buying these different platforms.
Perfect. So, Will, good insights. The MarTech 7000, you can just get online and find that. Come to your blog or Fitzmartin's blog. And
yeah, we'd love to run an audit on the different stack.
Get the categories that, as you've defined them, off the blog post. And then, the sales, we call them sales barrier audits. And if you have a sales point of view to it, what we're doing is identifying where barriers to revenue could be found or where there's gaps in the buying cycle for the buyer, and then filling those gaps and knocking down those barriers. So that's a very sales and marketing focused view. Technology can support all of that. Revenue operations is in the business of supporting sales and marketing and customer success. So that same framework works to identify where there are gaps in technology, where there are barriers in technology.
Absolutely.
And then that gives an executive a way to identify the strategic application of technology to their business problem. Did I get that right? All right. Well, let's call it a day. Let's come back. And I think this is it.
Oh, yeah. This is it.
This is the end. Well, it's been a fun conversation. I learned a lot. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.